Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio. Dick Newman with the Saturday off today. And boy, the spring season is wrapping up quickly, and in the studio with us right now to talk La Caprile Valley Dawson Boyd Track is head coach John Scherb of the boys and girls. And John, you got a nice suntan there from state track, and you look tired.
Oh, it's been a busy day, you know, being in the sun for, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at the track and walking back and forth. It takes a lot out of you, so it was a fun experience to be down there with Brayson.
All right. Well, you're the only coach today, so you got the full hour if you want it.
No, I don't need that.
Well, we're glad you're in the studio, and you have some great results. Brayson Boyk did very well down there.
Yeah, he did. You know, going in down there, you know, Wednesday went down to get on the course. I'll get on the runway. You know, he's been there last year, so he at least knows a little bit. But now with adding the triple jump in there, we want to make sure kind of give a better feel. So he got the runways down there a little bit. Also getting field transferring, you know, just to see what things are situated there. And that's also just to kind of get a feel of it. Because, again, when you get down there on Thursday, you're competing Thursday, it's a lot of people around there. And you're making sure you know where you're going, which board you are, making sure which official, you know, a lot of things start going through your mind. So you guys stay relaxed down there. And so that's what we went down on Wednesday, got some good looks there, got that figured out a little bit. And then kind of got himself ready. And then for Thursday going down, Thursday going in the triple jump. He was seated third going in, and now that's a performance list out of the section marks. It's not the performance list off at all season marks for every kid. So he was sitting third in that. You know, we didn't know. We felt he can go more than what he's gone. He's just again learning that process and getting it. You know, he hasn't jumped that much this whole year because he's been, you know, busy. We've had lost a lot of meets this year. You know, and so we kind of have to balance what you've got. And then, you know, also we had to have a little change too. Ron was not able to make it down, had some family things had to take care of, so he was not able to make it down. So we had kind of Joel all set the case ready to do it, and Joel stepped in really, really well to help and get Brayson. You know, and Brayson's a smart kid. You know, he's been doing this enough now that he can tell you marks, too, of where he's at, and then Joel picks up things. And I know Ted was looking at things. I would see some things. We'd kind of relay that to Joel. Joel would go with that and adapt that, and so that was good there. So on the triple jump, he was, you know, like the third. He was in the second flight. They had broke down the flights down there and see how that was. And he had a good mark. Our always concern was down there on Thursday was to get a mark to start off it, because if you start scrambling, you don't get a mark in that first attempt, now the mind starts changing a little bit. Now you start getting a little tight, and because you got to get a mark to get the finals. And yeah. So it doesn't matter what you, you know, the prelims to get the finals, and that was our concern. So he had a nice mark to start off with. Then in the second one, his first mark was, 42.6 in that area. So that was a good mark. That would get, when we saw what the first flight did, so that would give him the finals. Second one, he got out, and then he ended up dragging his foot. So he kind of had a really, simple terms, kind of a crappy jump as he normally would have. Nothing fancy. Then his third one, he went out after it. The only problem was he took off from the wrong board. They have boards painted on the track itself on the runway. Well, there's a kid that had to have a 40-foot board put in, so they put a 40-foot board in, and he came down the runway, hit it, and was behind the 40-foot board instead of his 36-foot board. So he did that whole thing, the phase all in. The officials kept looking at each other, okay, which board are we marking off of? Because he was behind the 40-foot board, but he was supposed to be 36, and he had assigned 36, so he had to take 36 board. So he was again 39, some change there. Oh, wow. Well, if you add on 4 more feet, now that's 43-footer. Oh. Now that's a big, so it's in the repertoire. So we knew that was kind of like, okay, now you can do this into that 43 range. And so he was in that and just kind of, in that spot, I think, if I remember right, he was sitting in the prelims about fifth, and that's, again, you're in the finals, you go and build off it. And he built it off those, and he had a really nice jump on his first one. His second one was his big one that got his decent mark. That was a 43-foot, 7.5, and that put him in the second. And so last one, he kind of put himself together and just went after it and went after big. He went after a big jump on his last one. Scratched by an inch. Oh. And that one, I think, would have put him darn close to winning. That would have been a 44-foot mark. So that would have been right there in the thick of things of pushing for a state championship on that. And also, you know, the school record and everything else. But again, it's a scratch. It's a scratch. But at least he went after and chased it, went after it. And to finish second with a 43-foot, 7.5-inch jump. And the kid from Adrian, who beat him at sections, won it with a 44-foot, I think it was 40-foot 5, I think it was. So it was good representation for a section. So that was really good to have him to kind of get the ball started rolling, because our goal was to get on the podium in all three events. And so a very good day for the first day for Thursday, yeah, for him.
Awesome. That's great job for Brayson Boyk there. You know, before we talk more about Brayson here, why don't you set the scene for us, John? Where's the state track meet held at, and what the conditions are like, and how the tournaments run?
Well, it's St. Michael Albertville has a really, really big facility. You know, set up, huge scoreboard, not a $10,000 scoreboard, put it mildly. It's worth a lot more than that. And they've got all the results up on the board, posted after every heat, who's in what heat, everything that goes on there. So it's big high tech there. And then with the situation where they have it, the long jump and triple jump and pole vault are all on the south end of the stadium going east and west, where the track is run of a north and south track. But then you go a little bit farther to the east, now you're getting to the shot put and discus area. So everything is controlled in that environment there. Big facility, great parking lot, and good area to work with.
Do they have enough seating for everybody?
They have a huge big stadium on the finish line. The backside, they have a smaller one, but there's still a lot of people around the fencing. It's could be bigger, but again, trying to find a stadium to handle, because now with the three classes, because you know, on Thursday, AAA was in the morning. We went to our prelims in the afternoon on Thursday. Then turn around yesterday, it was AA prelims in the morning, A finals yesterday. Now this morning it is, I believe it's AAA in the morning and AA in the afternoon. So it's a big scenario kind of change. So they got to incorporate all that in there. And there's a lot of people. I know announcer, he's always saying, you know, you got to get off the rail so they can see it, you know, because they were taking pictures and things like that. But it's kind of a big deal on and controlled. It's, you would like to see them open up a little bit more with the spaces for people to move a little bit. But again, I think that's part of the expansion, understanding of how the facility can handle it. And the same thing with where the teams put their campsites, which is on the west side of the stadium on a grassy knoll. You know, the only thing they're missing is a few trees out there in the grassy knoll. That would help a lot with some trees, but a lot of tents up to help a little bit, try to stay out of the sun.
What was the weather like? Was it hot?
It was mid-80s. We've been worse. You know, we were at section meet with 90s, so it was better that way. And there wasn't a lot of wind, so Thursday we had wind out of the east, southeast. So then yesterday we had wind out of the west. So it kind of changed it, because that will affect your jumping. And so they had them jumping to the west on Thursday, then they had them jumping to the east on Friday. So it kind of changes that scenario a little bit. And the surface area is a little bit harder surface area than what we've seen. Probably the Benson track is probably equivalent to probably a harder surface area. Our track is softer. Monty's track is softer than what their track is. So that surface area affects you a little bit too. So, but the State High School League does a nice job. The good thing that they do is they at least adapt from year to year. The first year down there, a lot of questions of where he could go, things like that. In the second year, they expanded it, making it a little bit more efficient for coaches and athletes and fans. They did a better job this year. So, again, but I think they can do more yet for next year. But that's the whole thing of trying to expand, because there's a lot of people. The stands are full and full. Parking lot is filled up. So they got a lot of things. And, you know, the nice thing is they do have a facility set where if the weather turns bad, they have an indoor field house to the north there. They can put all the athletes in there, so you can control that a little bit. So if the weather does change, and the parking is a big thing. That was Hamlin's issue. Hamlin had a great track, great facility, little compact, but you had a good area for that, but parking was not very good at Hamlin, and that was kind of a negative thing there. So they're trying to find it. So, and that's kind of your scenario with that many things going on, trying to get people in and out. You know, they'd lock the stadium down to get things straightened up, wouldn't let the athletes out until a certain time, and you know, it's a lot of things you got to follow on time, and that's the way they have it set.
Just do things run like clockwork?
Pretty darn close to clockwork. Yep.
And are the coaches able to be with the athletes?
Pretty much most of the time. But once it gets into, you know, like the long jump and triple jump, the field event's a little tighter to get into, because they only let one coach in to example, Joel was the only one allowed in the long jump area and triple jump area. Ted was the only one allowed into the high jump area. So elders, Joel and myself, we had to be outside the fence watching, which not the greatest of angles. You know, you'd like to see, hopefully they improve that a little bit. But I get they're trying to keep people out controlling it. Some people, you know, manipulate the system. I know there was a parent in there on a coaching pass that shouldn't have been in there. But again, it's tough to manipulate that. Right. When you have that many people going through it, you're going to always have something fall through it.
Okay. Tell you what, John, we're going to take a commercial break here. We'll come back, and then we'll hear how Brayson did in the high jump and the long jump and maybe some other area track athletes as well. So we'll take a break and be back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. The Country Butcher will deliver fresh cut and frozen products free of charge during the city's infrastructure project. Call between 10 and noon each day for delivery that day or evening. The retail store will remain open and will cut fresh steaks and chops and have fresh ground beef on hand. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Taking a look at some things going on around the area this weekend. Retirement party in honor of Ron Fierkenstead. Ranger Ron will be held today from 2 to 4 at the picnic shelter at Stonehill Park in Canby. And they'll celebrate Ron's retirement. He's been working 23 years at Stonehill Park, Del Clark Lake, as park manager. You're invited to Father Brian Oestreich's 30th anniversary of priesthood ordination party today after 5:30 p.m. Mass at St. Michael's in Madison. Join them for an old-fashioned picnic meal by free will donation, and that's going on today at St. Michael's. Fly-in drive-in pancake breakfast sponsored by the EAA Chapter 688 will be held Sunday, June 11th, 8 to 1 at the Montevideo Airport. There will be pancakes, plane rides, other activities going on. Everyone's invited to drop on over. Fifth annual Big Stone Lake Regional Art Crawl is today. That'll be from 9 to 5. Come stroll Ortonville's Main Street and enjoy the local art displayed in area businesses and artist studios in Ortonville. You're invited to the historical bridal show to be held Sunday at the Madison VFW Post 1656. It's at 4 p.m. The meal to follow, that's being put on by the Lock Powell County Historical Society. And prior to that, from 1 to 3, there will be an open house at the museum on South Highway 75. Tickets for that bridal show are available at the museum, which is open today from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tickets are advance tickets only for $25 each. And be sure to head over to Boyd today, take in the activities during Boyd's Good Time Days celebration. If you like high school sports, you'll love the Camden Recap, an all-sports weekly newspaper covering the schools of the Camden Conference, covering 13 school districts comprised of dozens of communities. From RTR to Ortonville, TMB to KMS, Lac Parle Valley to RCW, Dawson Boyd to Canby, everywhere in between, they've got your Camden Conference sports covered. For advertising and subscriptions, email advertising at CamdenRecap.com or call 320-297-1461. That's 320-297-1461 for the Camden Recap.
All right, welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coach's Show. We're visiting with head coach John Sherb of the Lac Parle Valley Dawson Boyd boys and girls track team, and the state track meet started last Thursday. It's actually going on today, but you said what, John? Triple A and
double A are going on today.
Okay. Yep. And we're just finishing up talking about Brayson Boyk, the entrant there for Lac Parle Valley Dawson Boyd. And He took second in triple jump. We talked about that and talked about his other events there, John.
Yeah, then on Friday, he had, you know, the high jump and then the long jump. So now you're into that mentality of you are going to get pulled left and right, where you've got to go over to the long jump area, get your run-throughs, get your steps down. Then you got to turn around, go back to the high jump, wait for your call to get in there, and then you got to kind of go back and forth. And that last year, he got caught in a pull last year, and it got underneath his skin a little bit, and that affected his high jump last year there a little bit. So that was hopefully, you know, we talked about that, you know, how to handle those things. So things aren't going to go right down there, and you're going to have to balance it and handle it. And I thought he did handle it very well. Starting off down there, had problems with his steps. Long jump steps were off. And we went by the marks that he's been using, and he was over by about 2 inches. Well, then you back him up. He's still off by 2 inches. And just so we had, and the other thing, and Brayson made the right comment, Joel and I were talking about, it's like, he goes, I can't be doing all these run-throughs because I'm going to start deadening my legs, which is very true. So we went with it and said, let's just go with your mark and see what we've got. And then we'll readjust when you warm up for second flight, because they're going to go into first flight, and then he was going to go over and start working on the high jump. So that was kind of the iffy thing I didn't like, is because you like to have something stable going in, so you don't have to have that panic mode, because it can snowball on you. So he was able to get into high jump. First opening height was 5'8", cleared that no problem. They were still working on the long jump, and then the first flight was just finishing up when he cleared 5'10". No problem again in first attempt, and then went to 6 foot, and then cleared. Then he went back, then he went over and started to get ready for the run-throughs and the long jump. And first time down the runway, scratched, over again. So now it's like, looked at Joel, and I looked at Jared, it's like going, we got to go back. Then I talked to Ron a little bit too, seeing what he thinks. Yeah, he goes, you guys got to keep moving back. So we moved him back another foot, trying to get him back onto his mark. Because the legs, and this again, you know, he's 6'6", 6'7". Those legs are going down the runway. Now, if you are off on your step by a foot or even 6 inches, that's going to change your whole thing coming down the runway. So that's where he was getting his issue with it. So scratching his first one, it's like, okay, this is not a good sign, but we'll get through. Came back, got his second one in. He got a mark, which was key, because, again, you want to get a mark, get yourself in. That was a 20-foot, I believe it was 20'6" or something like that. That put him in 14th, not in top nine to go to finals. Well, then he's got to go back over and gets it. Now he goes over and clears 6'2" in the high jump. So now he comes back, and now it's like,
so he's going back and forth between the high jump and the long jump. Wow.
And now he is not in the finals of long jump. So now he's got to be able to get a mark without scratching to get into the finals. So he, on his last jump, he hit a nice one in the long jump. He hit himself was 21.5 it was. So he got him he was in fifth. So I was like going, oh my goodness. You know, here's a coach that going, this is not going to be going good if he has to go to the last jump. So on his third jump, he gets to finals.
Wow.
Goes over to high jump at 6'4", looked flat, his feet were off, he did not look, he was stuttering, and that's the thing is, you can't stutter, and Ted goes, when I saw him stuttering, he's like going, he ain't gonna make 6'4". 6'4" attempt stalled out over the bar, knocked off, wasn't even close at all. Second attempt was a better attempt, still had a stutter in there. Third one, he had his best attempt at it. It's just, again, he did not have enough. He caught with his legs, with his calf coming over. Now he's out. So now he's in seventh. And he was perfect. He was perfect through going to 6'4". Didn't miss at all, which was good. So he's out now. He's tied for seventh. So that's why now, and I talked to you, now he's getting ready for the finals, long jump. I just talked to him a little bit. And I said, yeah, you got to flush that out of the system. It's over. High jump's over. Now you can focus. I said, you go 22 feet in that long jump, your chance of going for a state title. I said, it only takes one, and he's got it in his legs. I mean, yep. He's got the tools to do it. He's just putting it together. So then he got over there, so got warmed up, got into the finals, got his first attempt in there, about a little bit better. It moved him up. Well, he actually, kid passed him, went down. He was in sixth. Then he actually got himself back up into fifth on his next jump. So then now he's fine there. So then now you're going, he's in fifth place, has an okay mark on his second. Now it's a third jump. He is now sitting in fifth place, third jump. No more jumps left in the finals. So now we talk about drama. Now the drama's going on. Okay, where do you want to go? and he hit a big one. He ended up breaking 22 foot. He went 22 feet, 3 1/4 inches, which is 2 inches short of the state champion.
Oh, geez.
So he was really, really close and hit that. But now he vaults himself from fifth to second. And that was a big one to go, which I was giving him a hard time. It's like, you want to wait to the end, don't you? You always want to wait to the end to get your mark, to get it over, and instead of let's just solve the problem early, then we can not worry about it.
Relax a little bit, yeah.
And it's like, no, we just had to do it that way. So he really had a big old smile on his face, tickled to it. He also broke the school record. Cruz Lindblad, who was a state champion for us back in...
Oh, Cruz was a state champion?
Yeah, he was state champion in the long jump. Oh. That was back in 2010.
Okay.
2009, he was state champion. Then he was like third or fourth in there as 2010. So he breaks, because Cruz had the record, and I may be off a little bit, but his record was 21 feet, 10 and 3 quarters, I believe it was, and Ron would know the number better if I don't have it on the top of my head. So he ended up breaking Cruz's record. He went 22 feet, 3 1/4 inches to get second. Again, you just love it the way you get a chance to have a kid have his, you know, tickled, a smile on his face. He's done competing, long day in the sun. Again, you talk about me with sunburn. It was that bright sun. You have that, and he had an umbrella to try to protect himself a little bit. But he's still big body, lots of surface area, a lot of sun hitting you. It drains your legs, and that's the thing. And just, he handled it well, and just a great performance to have him to close out. Now he basically comes back with 3 medals, makes podium in all 3, has, you know,
nice.
2 seconds, and then also gets the 7th. And so that's the thing is, and the nice thing is, he's a sophomore. So now can we build off this for next year? And that's the thing is, I think he's got that taste now, and it's like the idea, it's like he wants to go to that next level, and he's got the tools to do it.
Become a state champion. He's quite the... A special athlete, as young as he is. He's got the body make, the 6'7"?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, you know, I know basketball's his sport, but he's very good at that, too.
Yes. Yeah, and he's
and
a good
football.
And football. And, you know, he can do a lot of things. And that's what Nikki Swenson, Nikki Parody, one of my former athletes, her and I have been texting back and forth a little bit, and she was pulling results off that. And she goes, you know, 3 events to get him in. You couldn't get him into the 4th. I said, no, I couldn't quite get him in the 4th. I said, we're ripping him off. You could put him in 8 events instead of 4, but, you know, state high school, you only let him put him in 4 events because he's that good of an athlete and does very well with it. And, you know, and that's what you like when you have some athletes. You know, Nikki was a good one. We've had some very, very good athletes that were outstanding. We were able to expand them and really watch them excel, and that's what's the blessing and the fun part of it is, as a coach, you get those. And it makes things really, really special to be involved with that. And I said, he's got that. And the other thing we talked a little bit, too, is afterwards, or enjoy the moment now. Because the other thing is, life is so short. You enjoy what happens now. Next year, we don't know. And that's the thing. He could go bigger and better, which I think he can. He could be – we don't know. But, again, that's just that whole thing. So it's to come back now. You're coming back with 2 seconds, and a 7th is really special.
That's right. And you got some really good talent on your whole team, boys and girls, coming back. Some young track stars coming up.
Yep, and we're lucky. We've got a good mix, and you know we'll talk about that next week. But my seniors have done a very good job of, especially on the girls' side. We've had some very good senior leadership on there that has really helped mold some of these younger ones we've got. So it's going to be a nice build, and hopefully we can continue to build off this and always keep, you know, making them better, and new kids come out, and we hope to expand them. And that's, you know, that's what's helped us on the boys and girls this year.
All right, John. Well, I'm going to run through some area kids that were down at state track. I don't know if you'll be able to watch some of them or you want to comment on some of this. You can, but as long as we're talking state track, Ortonville Trojans, Chloe Rabe. Chloe placed 5th in the shot put, so congratulations to her. Canby had some place winners. Canby Miniota, Trevor Gray, tied for 4th in the high jump, I believe.
Yep, and he looked very good. He's so technically strong, and watching him high jump is...
Him and Grayson kind of went back and forth, didn't they?
And that's good competition for both of them, and those two went after each other and kind of pushed each other, and that was good. And he had some really good attempts, and unfortunately didn't get that next level up, but... It was good. And the winning jump was, got a guy, I think it was, that won it 6'7" in the high jump. He missed at 5'10" and didn't miss anything until he got all the way up to 6'6", 6'7". So he was on a roll.
Yep, there you go. And Cammy Minio's 4x800 girls relay team placed 9th at state. Braylon Merritt placed 8th in the 800-meter run, and Carly Wallen placed 14th in the triple jump. That's for Camby Miniota. And Montevideo had a number of kids on there. Actually, the boys' team placed 4th as a team, representing the section well there, John?
Yeah, they did. And then I talked to Shim. I asked him earlier if he's going to have enough points to get there, because, you know, you kind of look at that magic number of 30.
They were at first after day one.
Day one, yeah. It's, you know, you got a very good weight man that throws a shot and disc. That was some big marks for him. So he did his job. And then same thing in the pole vaulter, had a big event out of the pole vault. Yep. So they put some big points there.
Yeah, Braden Nelson, the pole vaulter, placed second, a runner-up there. And Francis O'Malley was state champion in shot put for the Montevideo Thunderhawks, and he also placed second in the discus.
He's
so a throw of 164 something.
He hauls it. And he's not, you know, if you remember the Nelson kid from TMB, who was state champion, that shot put, he's big. O'Malley's not as tall as him, but he is so quick with his feet. He's a heck of a sprinter. I know he was on their relay teams also, so he's a big man, and he can run. He's quick.
Good. And then ending her outstanding athletic career at Montevideo, Avery Coonan. Avery is state champion in the triple jump, and that was a new school record, 37 feet 11 inches something.
And that was under the another drama one right there.
A lot of drama at state tracks sometimes.
It's just you get one kid, and all of a sudden they beat. Now you got to come back and beat this one. That's the field events have more of the drama than the running. I mean, that's the thing. But the field events, things can change. And hers going in, I know she was seeded one going in, I thought, if I remember right. And then going through prelims, the first round, she was leading first going through prelims. Finals, I'm trying to remember where the girl was from. I don't know if it was Perm or something like that. Going into the last three more jumps, they get three more jumps in the finals. And going into the sixth and final jump, the girl that was in second hit a big jump. So she now took the lead. Now Conan is up with her last jump of her high school career in a triple jump. She is now sitting in second place. She hits a big one, going from second back to first, beats her by, I think it was a half an inch.
Oh, wow.
So watch that, because it was just, I knew something was going on over there when I heard a holler and scream, and then you kind of looked over, and then all of a sudden Conan was up, and it's like, okay, and then all of a sudden you heard the holler and scream over there again. So it was a great back-to-back, and it was really fun to see her close out her career, you know, some of her area, and a good, outstanding athlete. I mean, she could do it. She's another one, like, boy, she could do a ton of events, and she could be a heck of a heptathlete if she wasn't playing basketball. But she was good.
She was battling an injury too.
Yep, she'd been battling injury all year, so she was only able to get in one. Years past, she's always been in three or four events.
So nice job by Avery there, state champion in triple jump. That was quite an athletic career for the Montevideo Thunderhawks. Now they're lucky enough to get where you went to college, NDSU. Avery, basketball.
Yep, so. Basketball. That's what I told her a little bit. I said, you'll enjoy it up there, and I told her, I said, I did tell the track coaches that if they need someone that can triple jump or do some things, you may want to kind of give her a holler and see if the basketball coach will let her slide your way a little bit, so
okay.
Let her know on that one.
All right. John, I think what we're going to do is we're going to give you some time here to wrap up, put everything together in the track season, and you got a lot of seniors to talk about, so we'll do that next Saturday. And how's that?
That'll be perfect. We're gonna try the banquet Monday night.
Oh, okay.
I've been in contact with our captains, asking what we're gonna do and things like that, because we got, you know, we always try to do it the Sunday after state. Well, boy, can those guys have a breakdown classic in the cities for basketball all day Sunday. So he's not going to be around, so it's like, okay, let's try for Monday. Well, then I think Agapes leave like on Tuesday or Wednesday, I think they leave, so our window's getting tight, so then they'll be gone for 10 days or 2 weeks. So it's like, we're going to try to do the banquet Monday night. All the track kids and their parents are welcome to come out. I think we're looking at food, what we're going to do for food. I know there's talk out there, they're maybe making an ice cream sundae delight that way for, since it's 7 o'clock. So we're looking at the Commons, 7 o'clock at Lacrosse Valley High School for the track banquet.
All right. Real good, John. Thanks for coming in the studio again.
No problem. Thank you for inviting me.
Yep. And before we end the coach's show here, just a few things to talk about. Taylor Shelstead of the Lacrosse Valley softball team. Taylor's going to be playing in the All-Star game on tomorrow, Sunday. I believe it's in Mankato. Of course, she's one of 20 players on Class A All-Star game. So congratulations to Taylor Shelstead there. Got some baseball scores from last night. Madison Mallards down the Ortonville Rocks 12-3. They Mallards pounded out 18 hits last night. Wyatt Halverson was the winning pitcher. And in Junior Legion baseball, Madison lost to Montevideo 10-2. Dylan Keimig went 1-for-3 with an RBI for the Junior Legion team, for Madison's Junior Legion team. Well, that wraps up our coaches show for this Saturday. Thanks for listening, everybody, and tune in next Saturday for the Loughborough Valley Dawson Boy coaches show.
Come on over to Camby for Camby Hat Days, Friday, June 16th, Saturday, June 17th, and Sunday, June 18th. All events located at Central Park unless specified. And remember, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, it's the big Hat Days Parade. Check out CambyChamber.com for a complete list of events. That's the 2023 Camby Hat Days, sponsored by the Camby Chamber of Commerce and Sanford Camby Medical Center.
Comerford Construction and Gravel of Danvers, serving our entire